He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, of course, there's news all over the world, all over America today, just to the south of us down in Florida. Very, very news-driven day today. Well, we're going to focus on the markets here as much as we can for the next 50 minutes or so. The Dow right now is up just 54 points, 29,197, and I think most of that gain is coming from Biogen, BIIB, which is up about 50% today on good news on a Alzheimer drug, I think. NASDAQ, however, is down 14 to 10,822, and that's mostly Apple. Apple is the big loser today in tech. We'll get to that in a little bit. The S&P's up 10. That's about a quarter of a percent. The Russell 2000's up, looks like 1%. Crude oil is up 99 cents to $79.49. Silver is up 23 cents to $18.57. Gold up $21 per ounce today. The euro is at 96. That is below a parity, obviously, with the U.S. dollar. We've got a big drop in interest rates today, and I think that's helping the markets. I'm not sure what's causing that drop. Maybe the news out of England with the Bank of England doing some measures over there. The 10-year's at 3.84, but I think it went to 4. I think it went over 4 after the close or near the close of the market yesterday.
Yeah, highest since the financial crisis.
Woo! And Bitcoin is down $1,030. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 23 years as a professional money manager. I've seen many bear markets. I've seen many, mostly bull markets, but I've seen two major bears in my lifetime, 2000 and 2008. And there's no question we're currently in a bear. How bad will it be? What can you do? Well, we got a lot of news today. I'm sure a lot of you have your televisions turned to the Weather Channel, and we're watching that very closely. Barry, your parents probably about in the path.
Yeah, they're on the map. You know, thankfully for Tampa and Sarasota, a lot of our listeners, it looks like it'll end up making landfall south of them, which you want to be on on that north side at this point. But you never want to be on the map
more
in these
towards
situations.
The Naples area, right?
Yes,
what it's looking like.
They're in Cape Coral, and so, yeah, they were looking at the tracking map, I guess, late last night, and, their name is in the middle of it, so you never want to see your name on the tracking map.
So. Well, my sister's in Palmetto. I asked her where she's hunkered down because she told me she was headed for higher ground. She lives on one of the canals from Tampa Bay, they actually live on a little island. But she's like 20 miles from where she lives. Okay. She got away from she's afraid of the storm surge there. So anyways, that's not good. It's either a Category 4 or Category 5. We're seeing it right now in Charleston. I mean, the river is starting to get worked up. There's a lot of rustling in the trees. We're going to get hit Thursday, and they keep upping the ante on, the strength it'll have when it hits us here in Charleston later this week. It's supposed to cross over Florida, reform in the Atlantic Ocean, and then head north. I'm not going fishing Saturday. I can tell you that.
Yeah, we already have The kids are already going to be virtual on Friday. I'm pretty sure they'll probably make that on Thursday also.
We're busy lashing things down here at our house today. Well, okay, the market is a pretty quiet here today. The Dow has broken its support level. The 13-year bull market, just from a technical point of view, is over officially, even though it's been over for, probably several months now. And the S&P 500 actually needs to close, just technically, close below 3,600 to officially end the 13-year bull. I'm more concerned about the 13-year bull in earnings. We will finish this year with much higher earnings than we had last year. And, in fact, this will be a record earnings year because we had a couple of really good quarters to start the year, but it's been downhill ever since. But we will hit record earnings somewhere in the 220 range, I think. 208. Next year's 226. And that will keep the winning streak going for earnings. But all eyes on 2023, will we get an earnings recession? And that's what we're really worried about for the next 2 years. So I'll be updating my earnings estimates this week. Or tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, I start running my formulas on the 500 S&P 500 stocks, and then by late Friday, I have an overall number for the S&P 500. I also look at other numbers that are out there, and we'll see where we're at. I am seeing a lot of companies, more than normal, that are guiding lower. And that's not a good sign for the earnings picture. Okay, there is so much going on here today. You have the Bank of – well, let's go back yesterday. Let's just real quickly. The Dow continued its losing ways. In fact, that was the 12th straight day of the industrials being – or 11th straight day, longest losing streak since COVID. And you just mentioned we saw the highest interest rates since – since when? We went over 4%.
Since the financial crisis, and then also 30-year mortgage went over 6.5%, which is the highest since 08. So
yes, and that's just bringing the housing market to a standstill. And finally, we're starting to see home prices come down significantly. Right now, the predictions for Hurricane Ian, which will be a memorable one, it could top $45 billion with the Florida landfall. Just showing all those nice boats parked on the channels and whatnot and tied up to the docks. You just got to wonder how many of them will still be there tomorrow morning.
I saw some boats. It's like you should have, that one should have got out of the way. They had a few real, very nice ones.
I mean, tied up, well, if you're in a slip in a dock, you're a little better. But if you're just tied up, in the channels and whatnot, that's all you've got is that cleat and the rope holding your boat in a couple of places and 150-mile-per-hour winds. I've had the ropes come loose, break, snap in two a few times here in Charleston with 40 or 50-mile-per-hour winds. There's going to be a lot of boat damage. No question about it. The boat insurers, I'm sure, are very, very nervous about the damages they'll have. Mosaic has a lot of their phosphate facilities east of Tampa. Yeah. There you go again. I mean, the fertilizer situation continues to get worse and worse. Mosaic is a major producer, and it all comes out of Florida for the most part. That's growing our food. That's not going to help. And the Bank of England is going to start doing quantitative easing. You know what? They're going against the grain while the rest of the world is zigging. They are zagging under their new leadership. They're going to start temporary purchases of long-dated bonds. And they're going to delay quantitative tightening. And that comes on the heels of yesterday when they said they're going to lower taxes and they're going to raise spending. So they're going at it from the Milton Friedman's, is that supply side, Barry, that they're going at it from?
They're only, it's old Chicago school.
Yes, and so we'll see if it works. You know, there's a lot of doubters out there. Of course, the world has kind of gone the other way with their economic theories, you know, believing that there's really no limit to how much you can spend, but the taxation part is really where they're going against the grain. Lowering taxes in today's world? I didn't think that we'd ever see that again, but that's what they're doing in the UK, and that is bringing their interest rates down, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in Europe when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keit. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I met with a couple of representatives of the Pro Fund yesterday, Barry, at my office. And the last time I met with the Pro Fund's representative was in the mid-90s. I was one of the first to hear about the Pro Funds, which had at that time the only inverse mutual funds, strictly mutual funds. And then they're based out of Bethesda, Maryland, but I was visited by their rep in the Southern California area. Then later along came the, let's see, who was the next one? They're not around anymore.
I think they combined with someone. I forget what the...
someone was bought out, and then they got rid of them all, the RIDEX funds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And RIDEX was bought out by one of the big fund companies, and they eliminated all the inverse funds. And then along came Direction, the Direction funds. So we talked about they had one of their, macro guys that visited, and we talked a little bit. And I was talking about Europe and how vulnerable Europe is. And, of course, the inverse ETF there for Europe is EPV. That's the only one I know of, EPV. Maybe Direction has one by now, but we continue to own EPV. Deutsche Bank is predicting a deep and long recession in the U.K., Now, what the U.K. is doing is very controversial. The International Monetary Fund is chastising them. Of course, you know, England is independent of the EU, and I'm sure they don't like the advice they're getting. But it is unusual that they're the only ones in the world that I know of using fiscal policy to try to beat down inflation. They're cutting taxes because... You know, the people are getting squeezed big time by food and energy costs. The cost of everything is going up. The cost of borrowing is going up. So they're going to cut taxes, okay, which has got the International Monetary Fund all hot and bothered. And at the same time, it's kind of counter to what they're doing with their monetary policy. Have you ever seen a case where... They're raising, but now they're going to do quantitative easing. But still, their rates are going up.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably argue that you know our own governments around the world have really not done their part from a policy standpoint in terms of say helping central banks. Right, in this instance, it's really a juxtaposed position. I mean, they're pretty much going head to head, which is. Which is different than just kind of sitting it out on the sidelines. So it's kind of a, you know, those policies, you know, long term are actually inflationary. And so, you know, in terms of, you know, cutting taxes and things of that nature, because you got, you know, more money in folks' pockets, that money's going to find, you know, finds its place in purchasing goods and things of that nature. So it's a pretty, you know, unique situation. And when you get, you know, other parts, I think you mentioned a quote yesterday in terms of, you know, I've heard of terms, you know, kind of a radical or you know, just the uncertainty of how this thing is going to play out.
Yeah, I remember when Bernanke was our Fed chairman during the Obama years, he was begging for fiscal policy help because he was fighting the economic crisis and the comeback from that pretty much alone.
All by himself. I mean,
all by himself.
Right.
All right. Well, the mortgage applications now, 6.52 for a 30-year. That's just unbelievable. It was under 3 a year ago, and now we're at 6.52. Last week it was at 6.25. So there's not going to be any refis, that's for sure. I mean, unless there's still equity left in homes and people can get equity out, but they're going to pay a lot higher price. And, of course, a lot of people are just priced out of the market right now because of the cost of borrowing. The 10-year went above 4% yesterday. I don't know when that was. I know it was way up there. I looked at it at one time. It was 3.98. It was Wednesday morning. So sometime this morning, we got above 4%. And now there's been a pretty precipitous drop. We're down 13 basis points. I'm not sure why, but we are. Well, the bond yields gravitating towards or above 4 means markets are pricing in tighter policies for longer. And I would agree, there's not going to be it's not going to give anytime soon. Now the guy from ProFunds, the macro guy, he was saying, you know, he thinks they will get inflation under control. You know, I was playing devil's advocate. I was saying, what if they can't do it with fiscal policy, monetary policy by itself? He says when you start to see layoffs, okay, people, pink slips and whatnot, that's going to really chill inflation. That's his opinion. And, you know, that means the economy is starting to really slide, which is what they want to do. They want to put us into a recession, a soft recession, a soft landing. But that's the... He thinks they will get inflation under control, and it will be when the layoffs and pinks up. So we'll be watching those unemployment claims every Thursday and the jobs report once a month. I'm not so sure that will bring inflation down myself. So, but that's his opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. The international trade and goods deficit narrows more than expected. Not much. I mean, that helps a little. Here I want to get your comment. What do you make of the big rise in retail and wholesale inventories? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, you've got, I mean, it's, you know, two things. Could be good, right? It could be that they're, you know, they've ramped up, say, inventories, you know, say prior to the holiday season, that type of thing. You know, the other side of it could be that they're essentially haven't sold things as quickly as they thought, right? And your inventories grow from that standpoint.
Slowing economy, right?
Right. And the trick is, you know, the longer those inventories build, right, eventually some of that inventory becomes obsolete, right?
Yep,
which then
write
ends
it
up
off.
Getting written off, which in turn hurts earnings to a certain extent.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's kind of the, you know, kind of diving into those inventories a bit is going to be important to determine, you know, how much of it potentially could be obsolescence or how much just happens to be them building prior to the holiday season. But I haven't heard a lot of, you know, we did last year in terms of, building inventories going into holiday season just because of all the supply chain issues we had prior. But I haven't heard a lot of that talk. I mean, there's been a lot of issues out there, and that's not one that I've heard at the
moment. No, but we'll hear, if we hear it, we're going to hear it during earnings season.
Certainly.
You know, inventory builds. Now, when we come back, Why is Biogen up 50%? Why is Apple way down? And who blew up the pipeline? The Nord Stream pipeline. It was an intentional act by somebody. A huge environmental disaster and no energy for Europe this winter. That guarantees it will be right back. And welcome back here to the second half. Well, we got a little bit of a lift under the market today, despite, you know, a lot of disturbing news from around the world and here in the U.S. Dow is up 228. Crude oil is now up $2.47. That's a big move there. The Nasdaq's up about 68. The big winner today, Biogen. BIIB, which I'm pretty sure was put into the Dow. That was the most recent entry into the Dow, was Biogen. And they had good news today on another one of their Alzheimer drugs that they're co-developing with the Japanese drug maker. The treatment was found to have cut the cognitive and functional decline of patients with early stages of the disease by 27% compared to the placebo. So, you know, they had that other drug that was really controversial, but now this one here, I guess, is a new one that seems to work pretty good so far in the trials. So Biogen is way up today, and it is a big member of the NASDAQ, and I'm almost certain it's in the Dow. And, of course, obviously in the S&P 500, so that's having a big upwards effect on the markets today. The big loser today, let's see if it's still down, is Apple. Apple supposedly is not going to ramp up production of the iPhone due to lack of demand. That's got Apple down 3.2%. Apple is down 3.2%. And then you go downstream from Apple and all the suppliers, Skyworks, Micron, Qualcomm, Lam Research, Applied Materials, Broadcom, they're all down. The chip sector continues to be under heavy, heavy pressure. AMD, another one. All down because of the news from Apple. The big IPO yesterday, I missed it. Okay, I didn't know about this one. AMV. Holy Toledo. Look at this thing. Altus Motor Vehicles. AMV. It rallied 500% over its listing price in the after-hours trading on Tuesday following the EV maker's NASDAQ debut via a Regulation A filing. It was halted several times for volatility. Somebody messed up here, Barry, or there was some kind of the Reddit gang or something ganged up on this thing.
That finger trade?
No, I mean, it's up again. It's up 54% again today.
Yeah.
AMV, what do they do? An Arizona-based maker of EV work trucks and batteries. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I guess they did a lot of their private equity through crowdfunding. This is, wow, up 500% yesterday, up 55% today, AMV. Atlas Motor Vehicles, an EV work truck maker. Well, the pipeline, it was definitely sabotage, okay, whether it was a torpedo, a missile, a bomb. And who knows? We may never know who did it. I mean, you have to look at motive. we know who's going to suffer the consequences. That absolutely now guarantees Europe will not have gas, natural gas, liquid natural gas coming in from Russia. And they're going to have to depend on other supplies, and it's going to be a big problem. And there's different theories. The most popular theory, obviously, is that Russia blew it up, which leaves $20 billion worth of scrap metal at the bottom of the... I mean, this is a tremendous environmental disaster in the Baltic Sea off of Denmark and Sweden. The second theory is that the Ukraine blew up Russia's pipeline so that they couldn't weaponize it anymore. And the third theory is, you know, and that's the one that's all over Twitter and everything, is that the U.S. blew it up to also take away that, you know, the weaponizing of the pipeline by Russia. And, you know, you go back to that, I remember right before Russia invaded Ukraine, President Biden said a couple of times that, you know, there will be no pipeline if he invades Russia. So those are the popular theories out there right now. We don't know. We do know one thing. It was not an accident, okay? It wasn't a bubble in the pipe that blew or whatever. It was sabotage. And, you know, you can look at the picture of that, all of that natural gas.
Bubbling up to the top. Yeah,
top, and the methane coming off of it, and it's all going to waste, which is, you know, I don't know. But, you know, there could be ramifications. If we did it, I would think that would not be good for relations between us and Europe. Maybe it was done by Russia, and then they say, well, the U.S. did it to try to break up the, you know, we're supporting Europe, obviously, against Russia, maybe to break up the coalition. So anyways, that remains a mystery. Who blew up? You would think that would put upwards pressure on natural gas. And then here in the U.S., you know, Joe Manchin finally caved and gave in on the, which is now the Inflation Reduction Act, which has got a lot of green climate stuff in there. And what they gave him was, you know, an assurance that he could complete that Mountain Valley Pipeline through West Virginia. Now they took it back, okay, through a different bill. So it's pretty obvious that Joe Manchin got rolled, man. He's not getting his pipeline. Oh, so anyways.
Yeah, finally, yeah, it was held his cards for a while and finally played him and then played him in the
They outplayed him. Yeah, they played him for a sucker. All right, now, here's the other side of the U.S. currency. Okay, Barry, you can explain this. Okay, we know that this exploding dollar is hurting a lot of companies here in the U.S. A big drug company, Sanofi, which I believe is French, they're seeing a big positive impact from the currency markets. The French drug maker said its preliminary estimate of currency impact on Q3 is about 10 to 11%.
Yeah, they're going the other way.
So, they're going the other way.
Right. So they're, you know, for example, if we're buying their drugs, right, in dollars, and then they're converting them back into euros, well, that dollar's buying, you know, many more euros than it was, you know, a month or a quarter ago.
Now, on the other side of the pond, it's not good news for Merck. Right?
Yeah.
Or American drug makers.
So you're reversing it the other way. And in some part, you know, we'll use the transitory word. Some of it is, you know, it's currency translation, so it depends on the price. They don't have to turn it, you know, we're getting paid, you know, Merck's getting paid in euros. They don't have to turn it into dollars immediately.
No, you leave it overseas.
Earnings, right. But on their earnings and balance sheet, they have to market, you know, mark to market.
Yes,
that currency translation, and so you're gonna. To me, you're gonna. In my opinion, you're gonna have probably one of the more popular terms in during earnings season will be currency translation headwinds.
So. Yep, exactly. Okay, well, let's see one more little one before we go to. Well, okay, now you're starting to see Russia Europe is scrambling, especially Germany. and, of course, Sweden and Finland. Now, I know that they opened a new pipeline. I believe it's coming from Norway, which probably involves our friends Equinor. But Germany, we're seeing all of a sudden there's renewed interest in nuclear power. You know, Germany was totally against it. They shut down all their nuclear power plants. But guess what? Now they're looking at ramping them up again. So now you're seeing all the nuclear, the uranium stocks jumping because they got to do something. They're going to have to shut down their factories. The pipeline is gone. It's done. It's finished. That's what they put. That's what they base their future on for their energy to supply many parts of Europe. And it's done. It's blown up. It's leaking into the ocean. And they've got to now absolutely find another source for other sources, many other sources for energy. Okay, well, what's popping? There's a few earnings out today. Calmaine Ag stock, Paychex, Thor Industries, which makes RVs. What's popping when we come back?
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's got their different ways of managing money. I talked with someone yesterday who's with a nationwide firm. They advertise on television all the time, and I had a video sent to me of their quarterly it's kind of like the natives are getting restless, in other words, at this firm, because this firm has no defense whatsoever, and they admit that they were wrong to be fully invested, and they were writing that this would be another good year in the market, and they're admitting that they're wrong. And they apologize to all of their investors. I've seen this story before. But, you know, and then the story goes, well, you know what? We believe that we're coming up on one of the biggest buying opportunities of all time. And so they're loading up for the big bounce that's coming. And they're down about 27% year to date, you know, that's their managed fund that they run. So, you know what? Okay, there's the one theory is to ride through times like this, to ride through it. Well, you know what? I mean, look, I was there in 2000. They never came back. Those techs never came back. The NASDAQ, it took 15, 20 years to get back to where it was. I mean, a lot of investors were dead by the time those stocks came back, and many of those stocks never came back. The other side of the coin, you know, you go to the 2008, 2009, and the 53% drop. Yeah, it came back, and the market marched on to new highs. But to not take any defensive action whatsoever, look what we do when a hurricane comes ashore. Get out of Dodge, you know, hunker down somewhere. And there is sort of a hurricane that has been coming through the market, and it's the Hurricane Jerome.
Yeah, and they've got no seatbelts. I mean,
no.
In terms of the in the firm you're discussing, they almost refuse to hold cash, which is,
I don't think. Yeah, I just don't think that matches their. You know, his father was a legendary investor on Wall Street, and this is the son, and he's made a lot of guffaws over the years, a lot of huge mistakes over the years, and I don't know, to just sit and do nothing. That's like sitting in Punta Gorda, if you're a live aboard on your boat, and doing nothing when there's a storm coming through the market. And, you know, this storm started brewing a long time ago. emanating from really the Fed and also Europe with the Ukraine war, the energy crisis that's going on. Now you got rising interest rates around the world, fear of a global recession. For me, doing nothing is not an option. That's just me, okay? That I believe, like I say, I've been using the inverse funds since the mid-90s. And I will have somebody on from Pro Funds. They promised me that they would get one of their guys on. Just to tell you, I can just tell you one thing that you don't want to do with inverse funds. They're not a buy-and-hold instrument, okay? No. I mean, over the last 10 years, do you know what an inverse fund on the S&P 500 would have done? They're tools to be used. You pull out the emergency water. I mean, you pull out the generators. You pull out the emergency rations of food. I heard that the Publix are closed. The mayor of Punta Gorda said that's the first time in his history that he's seen the Publix closed. Now, we know the old Waffle House theory. If the Waffle House is closed, it's going to be bad. And I have heard that all the the market, you know, the Waffle Houses are kind of closed right now. And there has been a storm coming through the market. You've got, you know, a big major fund that manages a lot of money down 27% year-to-date. You've got Cathie Wood's down 60% year-to-date. You've got the worst sell-off in the bond market since 1947. And you're waiting for the biggest bounce of all time. Well, you know what? I can't say that right now. I think it's time to be on defense. We have 70% now, maybe more. I haven't added it up, but it's about 70% cash. And then the 30% we have invested, half of that probably is in inverse ETFs, and we've picked on the most vulnerable areas in the market. And these are not buy-and-hold strategies. They're like putting wood up on your windows when the winds are rising. Well, in today's market, it's kind of interesting to see the home building ETF, and I think you can draw a correlation there. How many homes will be destroyed in this? We don't know, but obviously that could put upwards pressure on building supplies, home builders, etc. And it's also interesting to see a stock like Camping World up 8.6% today. Are a lot of people going to end up in RVs living until their homes are rebuilt? I don't know. I mean, these are all speculative bets that people are making on the market. The biotech sector is red hot today because of the big news out of Biogen. You know, usually when you get big news on one biotech, the whole sector, any ancillary company, anybody else working on Alzheimer's rises along with it. I don't know what the news at Lilly is. I got to look that up. It's up 8.6%, along with another biotech, PRTA, that's up 76%. So there must be some kind of a collaboration there between those two companies that's driving them up. And then the last thing here would be energy. The coal stocks are way up today. Will Europe have to, will they say, you know what, putting carbon into the planet or staying alive, keep from freezing to death, cooking our food, etc.? There's a choice you got to make. And so the coal stocks are up, and oil's having a good day. I'm seeing the three-time energy sector, NRGU, is up 7.2% today. So that's what's popping and jumping here today. I would say one is coming from that big news out of Alzheimer's news out of Biogen. The other, there must be some big news out of Lilly. It's up 9%. I haven't had a chance to look at that one yet. And then the Florida hurricane, and then the explosion yesterday, the sabotage to the Nord Stream pipeline. That's what's driving the market today. Well, get the newsletter. I'll have an important update on earnings this week. That holds the key to the future. And give us a call if nobody's doing anything where you're at right now. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.